Amen. Piano apart over there. So praise the Lord for it. Isn't that great? It's good to see a family serving the Lord together. I want to see the daddy sing with us, what I want, Brother Shelton. No doubt about it. Yes, sir. Come on. No, forget it. Set it back down, brother. I almost made a mistake there by saying, come on up here, right? How many of y'all would like to hear him sing? Would you raise your hand? You'd like to hear him sing? I'll tell you what, brother, if you want to sing, I'll sing with you. Yes. I'm not kidding. I'm not joking. Not tonight. Yes, not tonight. We'll get Brother Gary in on this thing. I just volunteered him and all this. Sure. I want to hear you sing, brother. Yeah. You wasn't planning on this, were you? Yes. We love you. You know, you can just lip sing it and all this. And you know, I'm kidding with you, by the way. Yes. I'll call you this week, all right? We'll talk about it. Take me out to lunch and convince me otherwise. Very good. Matthew chapter 2, please. Matthew chapter 2. It's good to have the Shelton family with us here. God bless them. And he's preaching out and all these kind of things. He's filled the pulpit a few times for me while I've been gone. Praise the Lord. And dear friend of mine, some of you don't know this, but he was pastoring Double Springs Baptist Church the first time my wife heard me preach. And it was all downhill from there for her, you know what I mean? Sure, she said, I'm going to have to marry this boy to help him out a little bit, you know? She's been helping me out ever since. Amen. Matthew chapter 2, beginning with verse number 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that's born king of the Jews? We have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. They said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. When they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother. I'm a little bit envious, aren't you? Just a little bit. And fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. In verse number 1, there's two words. In verse number 7, the two words are repeated. It's the two words, wise men. Now, I know it's not Christmas time. I understand that, okay? But we've come to this passage in our study through the book of Matthew. And the Lord has some great truths for us to take home with us tonight, considering these wise men. And I'm preaching tonight on that subject, wise men. Let's pray together, and I'll share this thought with you. Father, we love you. Thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and the beautiful music all day long. Thank you, Lord God, for how you met with us this morning. Thank you for the precious kids coming in here and packing this front part of the auditorium this morning. What a blessing that was. Thank you for the three precious teenagers who trusted Christ this morning. And I pray that you'll help us this night to take home what you've given to us. We recognize the authority of your word. And I recognize that if you do not preach, I cannot preach. May thy will be done here. Please get this message across in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we come to the story of the visit of the wise men from the east. These men came to Jerusalem looking for the king of the Jews, and when Herod heard this news, he called for the chief priests and scribes and demanded of them where Christ should be born. They told Herod that it was written that Christ would be born in Bethlehem. And this is the reference in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, which says, but thou at Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from old, from of old, from everlasting. Now, upon hearing this, Herod sends the wise men to Bethlehem, telling them to find the baby child Christ and then come back and tell him so he could come and worship him too. Now, obviously, we see later in this chapter that Herod didn't want to come and worship the Lord, but rather he saw the Christ child as a threat to his own leadership, and he wanted to destroy the Christ child. Now, common sense should have told him he's barking up the wrong tree right there. But the wise men had seen a star. Now get this. And this star was leading them to the place where the Lord Jesus was. In other words, after they came out from Herod, apparently the star had disappeared or something. And then it reappeared again. Some people are thinking here. And they see it here, and it leads them, it goes before them, and it hovers over the place where the baby Jesus was. Now it's interesting when you look on Christmas cards, and I'm not gonna split hairs here, but every time these wise men, and every time it's three, nobody knows for sure how many it was. The Bible does not say three wise men, it just says wise men. And then they always show them in the stable. But the Word of God says they came into the house. We understand that the baby child is no longer in the stable, folks. He's at home. And the wise men come to visit the baby child. And after their visit with the Lord Jesus, they were warned by God to return to their own country another way and not to return to Herod. Now, as I was studying this passage, you're with me now, these young preacher boys, as I was studying this passage, I felt the Holy Spirit of God leading me to the wise men. Now, while these men were called wise due to their occupation, if it will, people believe they were astrologers and astronomers. Again, that's not the point here, but they were called wise men because of what they spent their life doing. I submit to you tonight that they were truly wise men. Even though they were called wise men for their occupation, we see that the actions they took and how they acted in our text really shows us that they really were wise men according to God. Now, as we look at these things together, I want to look at these wise men and what they did. Now, I'm going to give you a shock tonight. I do not have an alliterated outline. What's that mean? That means everything doesn't start with the same letter. Now, that doesn't happen often, but it happened here. Great lesson for the young preacher boys. Don't force an outline. But I'm going to give you four things that we see that these wise men did. And if you and I will put these same principles in our life, we'll also be wise men and wise ladies. Are you with me tonight? What made them wise? Truly wise. Smart. Full of the wisdom of God. Number one, we notice that wise men, first of all, seek the Lord. They seek the Lord. In verses 1 and 2, it says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east of Jerusalem." Notice what they said, saying, "Where is he that is born, King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." See, we see in these two verses here that the wise men came from the east. Nobody knows exactly how far they traveled, but here's the point. They did travel, and however we know that no matter how long the journey was, they took, it had a purpose to it. They were willing to leave country. They were willing to leave their comforts. They were willing to do all of these things because they were seeking the King of the Jews. For they had seen his star in the east. And these men knew that they saw this star. It was unusual. And they knew in their heart that it was pointing them to the Christ child. These wise men were seeking the Lord with every ounce of their being. They were willing to leave their country and leave their comforts to make a journey in order to get a glimpse of the only begotten Son of God. These wise men had one desire, and that desire was to find the King of the Jews and to worship him. Folks, you know, in the same way, we learn here that truly wise men seek the Lord in their life. We need to understand. Now get this, don't miss this point. Every one of us are seeking something or someone. You are seeking. But whether you're seeking him or seeking something else, it determines whether you're truly wise or whether you're unwise. Some are seeking fame. Some are seeking fortune. Some are seeking pleasure. But we see that wise men seek the Lord and make God the goal of their life. Psalm 34:10, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Psalm 105:4, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Jeremiah 29:13, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. 1 Chronicles 16:11, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Psalm 63:1, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Psalm 27:8, when thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Let me ask you a question tonight. What are you seeking? More importantly, who are you seeking? See, if what you're seeking is a what instead of a who, you're missing what the Christian life is all about. Your seeking should be focused on one person, and that is the person of Jesus Christ. Is God pleased with it? Does God want me to do that? Is this what he's telling me to do? Is this where he's telling me to go? If God's there, I'm going there. Here's what I'm saying. These wise men, they knew that this star that appeared, it was leading them, divinely leading them to the Christ child and something inside their heart. I mean, folks, they turned their back on their jobs. They turned their back on their country. They turned their back on their comforts because they were seeking God. And I'm telling you, we learned that they're truly wise and that they seek the Lord. Now I want to apply something else under this. The Lord sent a star, I've already talked about it, to probe the wise men to seek him. After the wise men met with Herod, the star reappeared and went before them. They didn't ignore this star that the Lord sent to guide them. They followed his star and it led them right to where Jesus was. We see here that the Lord was tenderly showing them an outward sign to point them to the one their heart was seeking. Now, folks, listen to me here. It is important to note how the star's guidance did not contradict the Word of God. Now, what I mean by that is this. The Word of God had already prophesied where the Christ child would be born. This outward sign was sent by God. No doubt about it, it was a star. But if that star had gone anywhere else, they better not follow it. Are you listening to me? Because outward signs that contradict the written word of God are false. Did you hear what I just said? And I'm telling you that one thing that confirmed that this star was really of God is it did not contradict the Bible. It verified the Bible. It came to Bethlehem and it showed them where the Christ child was. Now, how can we apply this part here to our life? Wise men are wise in that they seek the Lord. Well, we ought to be seeking the Lord. But underneath this same point, I want to say this to you because the Lord is talking to me about the star in my study. You know, it's interesting that the way we can apply this star's guidance to our witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, do you understand that there are people all over the world who are seeking the Lord and they don't even know it? Did you hear what I just said? They're seeking peace. They're seeking inner peace. You and I know it's found in Jesus Christ. Amen or not? And we see that the star guided these men to their heart's desire. Now listen to this. Just as this star led these wise men to Christ, even so we should be spending our lives to point others to him. We should let our light shine a bright path to the Lord Jesus Christ. Many souls depend upon it. You know a verse that came to me in my study? As I was thinking about the star, now this is all under seek the Lord. Wise men seek the Lord. But when their heart was right and they were seeking the right one, God sent them a star to guide them, to show them the way. Which shows you that when you want to do right, God will help you do right, folks. He will guide you And I'm telling you that we need to seek the Lord with all of our hearts. Go after Him, go after Him, go after Him. But then we also learn that just like the star was used of God to guide the wise men, God wants to use us to guide people to Him. Daniel 12:3 came to my mind. Anybody know what that verse says? It says, "And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." You know, when you get to heaven, those who have been soul winners, I believe this is what this is teaching, will shine a little bit brighter, and they'll shine as stars forever and ever. Could it be? I'm not saying it is, but could it be that the star that shined over Bethlehem is a picture of what you and I should be the rest of our days? I'm telling you, wise men are truly wise in that they seek the Lord. Wise men are truly wise, number two, in that they worship the Lord. We see this in verses 2 and verse number 11. It says, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have come, for we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." Verse number 11 says, "And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshiped him. And we see in verse number 2, the wise men said that they came all that way in order to find the King of the Jews so they can worship him. And in verse number 11, we see this is exactly what they did. They finally came into the house where Christ was. They saw the child. And when they saw him, they fell down before him. And they worshiped him. Now, I don't have this right here in my notes, but let me just emphasize it. You can do a Bible study. Anytime anybody saw Jesus for who he really is, they always fell down. And they always worshiped. I'm talking about for who he is. You look at it yourself. I'm telling you that these wise men came in and saw the Lord. And when they saw him, they hit the ground. I dare say that's probably what we're going to do when we see him for the first time in heaven. And all I'm saying to you here, what a beautiful sight this must have been. For these wise, nobody knows how many there were. See, people think it was three because of the gifts. One brought gold, but the Bible doesn't say that, folks. Nobody knows how many there were. But all I'm saying to you is this. Listen to me now. We see the importance here, how the Word of God is clear and plain. Before I talk about worship, notice who the wise men worshiped. They worshiped Jesus. They didn't worship Mary. Amen. They didn't fall down to Mary and say, "Oh, hallelujah." No. You have a religion going on that worships Mary. Mary needed a Savior just like anybody else. Read it for yourself in Luke chapter 2. Now I'm telling you something, that Mary's a human being that needed Jesus as her Savior. And she said, "I rejoice in God, my Savior," she said. And I'm telling you that these wise men didn't fall down to Mary. They fell down and worshiped God. They worshiped the Lord. They worshiped Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you tonight, the word worship here carries the idea, now get this, of a dog licking his master's hand. God's not calling us dogs here, but in this word, it carries a picture of a submissive dog walking up to his master and just tenderly licking his hands. Worship. This word worship carries the idea not only of that, but it means to crouch or prostrate oneself in adoration. Let me ask you a question. When's the last time you stood in awe of Jesus Christ? When's the last time that you bowed down, if you can, in adoration? Not to go to God to ask Him for anything, but just say, "I just want to praise you for a few minutes about who you are." Worship. Thomas Carlyle said this, "Worship is being caught up in wonder of someone that is beyond our capacity to understand and to grasp, to be taken up with the glory of God." These wise men were truly wise in that they gave their worship and their praise to the right one. Now, folks, listen to me, please. In the same way, we need to understand that just like we are seeking, we are worshiping as well. You worship You worship every day of your life. Now, who are you worshiping? In other words, if you're living your own life, then you're bowing down to the altar of your own heart and saying, I will worship myself. I am standing in awe of myself. I'm adoring myself. If you're living in, I'm talking about in pleasure, doing what you want to do, you are bowing down at the altar of your own heart. Or the devil, or the flesh, or the world, or all four. But what the wise men did and what wise men still do is they understand that there's only one who is worthy to worship. And his name is Jesus Christ. I'm talking to you tonight that wise men were truly wise here. And not only that they sought the Lord, but they worshiped him. Let us be found falling down before him in worship. John 4:23, but the hour cometh and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. Exodus 34:14, for thou shalt worship no other God. For the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. Psalm 29:2, give unto the Lord the glory, do unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Psalm 95:6, O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Revelation 4:10, the 24 elders fell down before him that sat on the throne and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. Matthew 4:10, then Jesus saith unto him, talking about the devil when he was tempting him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. A.W. Tozier said this, I say that the greatest tragedy in the world today is that God has made man in his image and made him to worship him, made him to play the harp of worship before the face of God day and night, but he has failed God and dropped his harp. He's dropped his harp. God gave him a harp to praise and glorify and worship the King. But man has taken the right and left turn off of the straight path. And even Christians today have dropped their harp and they've gone off chasing a rabbit down the street. Don't be guilty of letting anybody or anything rob the worship of God. God is worthy to be praised. God is worthy to be worshiped. Jesus Christ deserves our praise. He really does. His name is Samson. I preached on this just a couple of weeks ago, so I'm not going to dwell here long, but one of the most sobering things about the life of Samson is that he was born to glorify God. But at the end of his life, his eyes have been put out. He's put on display in the Philistine palace. And the Bible says the Philistines looked at him and praised their god Dagon. The worship that God deserved was stripped away and given to a false idol that just sits there and does nothing. Is the one you're worshiping worthy? By the way, if you're worshiping yourself, you're not worthy either, neither am I. But we know Jesus is. Has he been good to you? Amen or not? Has he taken care of you? Yes, he has. And I'm telling you, he desires and deserves and demands our worship and our praise. Who is it that you worship? You or the Lord? A majority of people today are standing and kneeling at the altar of their own heart. Christians ought not to be that way. Wise men seek the Lord. Wise men worship the Lord. Number three, take a deep breath, gulp tight here. Wise men give to the Lord. We see this in verse number 11. Now, do you understand that a preacher, if he doesn't preach on giving, is doing you an injustice? By the way, if you're giving because you feel pressured, then you're missing it. Giving is a part of worshiping the Lord, folks. And we see that these wise men came, they bow down, they fall down, they worship him, and what's the first thing mentioned after they worship him in verse number 11? And they open their treasures. Look at that. The first thing mentioned after they saw him, they fell down, they worshiped him, and the Bible says, and they opened their treasures, and they presented unto him gifts. Gold, frankincense and myrrh. This verse shares with us how these wise men opened their treasures and presented unto the Lord gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The gold was given as a picture of wealth and power, and is in honor of Christ being king. It's royalty. The frankincense was given as a picture of worship and praise in honor of Christ being deity, and the myrrh was given in honor of his death because myrrh was used for embalming. Therefore, we see them coming and saying, I know you're king, I know you're God, and I know you're the sacrifice for sin. And they opened their treasures, but they did not open them until they saw him. They did not open them until they worshiped him. But I'll guarantee you one thing, And listen, the giving here is good, it's great, all that. I don't know who gives what, and I don't care to know. I honestly don't. That man right there taught me a great lesson. Keep your hands off the money. You listening to me? I don't know what you give. You know what that does? And I've heard you say this. That gives me great liberty. Because there's somebody here tonight that gives $1 million, which there's not, amen. But if there was somebody here who gave $1 million, I can still get up with authority and preach. You ought to be giving the tithe. You ought to be giving the faith promise. You ought to be giving offerings. All these things because, listen, I'm not intimidated. Amen. And I'm telling you something tonight. Listen to me. When you really see God, you will want to worship God, and you will have no problem opening your treasures. None whatsoever. See, so many people, they don't want to open their treasures because they've not made the journey to seek the Christ child. Because when they made the journey to see the Christ child and they walked into the house and there he was. Can't you just see their face? I mean, honestly, standing in awe. They saw him and they knew he was the king. They knew he was God. They knew he was the Savior. They knew he would die. They fell down and worshiped. Oh, they just fell down in adoration. Oh, glory to God. We have seen him. Our eyes have beheld the king. And then all of a sudden they took their treasure and just start opening it. Many people don't open their bags because they've never opened their heart. You see Christ, you worship Christ, and you'll have no problem giving to Christ. I'm telling you tonight that right here we see that these gifts cost these wise men. That gold came from somewhere. Now, we all know it came from God, but I'm saying they gave it. So somebody in those wise, that was the wise men's gold. It cost them something. But I'm telling you, they had all, now get this. Here's three things. They had already given themselves. Amen. They had already given their time to travel all that way to seek him. So they had no trouble giving their treasures. They opened it to the Lord. In the same way, when we have truly given ourselves to the Lord, we will have no problem giving him our time and our treasures as well. On the flip side, let me say this. If you try to open your treasures and you give and give and give, but you don't give your time, God's not pleased with that, folks. God wants it all. He wants you. He wants your time. He wants your treasures. Somebody says, I can go, but I won't go, but I'll send somebody else. That is sin. That is sin. If you're willing to give your treasure but not your time, you have reversed what the wise men did. The wise men gave their time first. Then they gave their treasures. And I'm telling you, there's something to this. Luke 6:38, given it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. With the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. 2 Corinthians 9:6-7, this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Have you given yourself to Jesus? Are you giving your time to him? And have you opened your treasures? By the way, I'm learning this. By the way, Jesus Christ preached a lot on money. A lot. And he's commanded me to be a preacher that preaches the whole counsel of God. So as we preach through a book of the Bible, and when I get to it, I'm going to park on it. You know why you ought to give? Because God told you to. And it's in worship to the Lord. And as you give, God blesses your life. He wants the tithe and he wants some offerings. That's what he said in the book of Malachi. You've robbed me. Where have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. He wants the tithe, he wants the offerings. And I'm saying if you do not give those things, I may never know it. But does it really matter if the pastor knows or not? God already does. You say, you're just trying to get rich. Really? Hogwash! We're trying to get the gospel around the world is what we're trying to do. And God's made it to where the tithes and offerings help get the gospel spread around the world. And I'm telling you that you give as God leads and everything will be just fine. Amen. Amen. Wise men give unto the Lord. Then number four, quickly. Somebody said, hurry, get off that point, right? Number one, wise men seek the Lord. Number two, wise men worship the Lord. Number three, wise men give to the Lord. Number four, wise men obey the Lord. In verse number 12, look at this. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed in their own country another way. Now, to understand what's going on, what did Herod tell them to do? Herod told them early in the chapter, said, listen, you go find him and then come back and tell me where he's at. Then God said, don't do that. Go another way. Don't go back to Herod. So what did the wise men do? Well, he's a government official. Am I not supposed to submit to him? He's my leader. I'm not their leader, but he's a leader. Am I not supposed to respect him and submit to him? Not when he's telling you to do something that God tells you to do something else. Amen. Now I'm telling you something here. The wise men are truly wise here in that Herod told them to come back. God told them, don't go back. And you know what they did? They didn't go back. That's a powerful thought right there. You know what it tells me? Listen, Herod didn't scare these men. They weren't fearing Herod. They were fearing God. And when God said, don't go back to them, they didn't. They went home another way. You know, in the same way, we need to learn this vital lesson. We are to obey God rather than men. The Bible teaches this in Acts 5:29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. They told the apostles, they told them in the book of Acts, don't you preach in this name anymore. Don't you preach his name. You don't mention his name around here. But Jesus said, give it to all the creatures of the world. Jesus said, preach the gospel everywhere around the globe. And even though these men, these government officials try to show their authority, you stop it, you stop it. God said, don't ever stop. You know what Peter said? You all don't mind. Even if you do, I've got news for you. We're going to obey God over you. Amen. God, give us some more Peters like that. I'm telling you, now this doesn't give anybody the right to say no to authority unless the authority is telling you to do something God told you not to do. Or unless the authority is telling you, you don't do that and God's told you to do that. You are to obey God over man 100% of the time. And this is what we learn about the wise men. The wise men obey the Lord. Deuteronomy 13:4. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. In these verses we looked at tonight, we've considered four things that these wise men did that truly made them wise men. And wise men and ladies today still do the same four things. Wise men seek the Lord. Not fame, not fortune, not pleasure. They seek God. Wise men worship the Lord, not themselves. Wise men give to the Lord out of a heart full of praise and worship and adoration. And wise men obey whatever God tells them to do, even if a Herod tells them to do something different. Do you get the message? Do you understand it? Then I leave you with this question. Don't close your Bible, please. Are you wise? Are you seeking the Lord? Are you worshiping the Lord? Are you giving to the Lord? Are you listening? Obeying the Lord. Wise men, may God help us to be wise men and women around Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Let's bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Father, we love you. Help us tonight to do business with you. Help us to understand the importance of being wise, truly being wise for the cause of Jesus Christ. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. As soon as they get prepared, they're going to begin to play through something softly. Have you ever trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior? Folks, it is impossible to be a wise person and be outside of the will of God. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, that's not wisdom at all, that's foolishness. Maybe tonight God is dealing with your heart in a matter of salvation. Maybe what you need to obey tonight to truly make you a wise man or woman is the command to repent and believe the gospel. Have you ever trusted Christ and Christ alone? If you never have, why don't you come? Let us take a Bible and share with you how you can know the Lord. Or maybe tonight, maybe God is speaking to your heart about making Him your desire, making Him the one that you seek, making Him the one that you go after with all of your heart. Maybe God is whispering in your heart, you need to fall down before me. You need to get in my presence where you can see me. And then when you see me, you'll fall. But it's not a fall that's a damaging fall. It's a fall of worship and praise and adoration. The reason these wise men fell before Him is because they got to Him, you understand? They got to where He was. They saw Him. Maybe God's speaking to you about worshiping Him, giving Him praise. Maybe tonight the Lord is speaking to you about being like the star that led these wise men to Bethlehem. Maybe God is speaking to you about, hey, you need to let your light shine. You need to give out more gospel tracts. You need to point people to Christ. You know He's the Savior of the world. Why don't you point people to Him? Invite people to receive Jesus as their Savior. Or maybe God's dealing with you tonight about giving yourself to Him, giving your time to Him. Maybe you've been so busy that you've had no time for God. Maybe God's dealing with you about giving Him your time. Or maybe God's dealing with you about opening your treasures. Maybe some of you are not even tithing. That's 10%. That's where it starts. You don't have to pray about that. That's already God's. You don't give it to Him, you're robbing Him. You're threatening Him. You don't want to threaten God. You don't have to tell anybody about that. Just come and talk to God and say, Lord, give me the faith to give you the tithe. And the way that you'll have no problem giving to Him is when you see Him for who He is. Are you getting what I'm saying to you? When you see Him for who He is, you will have no problem opening your treasures to Him. Or maybe God's dealing with you tonight about He's giving you something to do. And all you need to do is obey. Obey. Are you a wise man or a wise lady? Let's do business with the Lord. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Father, take it, use it, bless it in a great way. Help us at Buffalo Ridge to have the desire to be a wise man or a wise woman. Give us the burden to seek you, to worship you, to give to you, to obey you, and do what you've given us to do. Thy will be done in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's beginning to sing. If God is speaking to you, would you leave your place and would you come? As he sings, come on.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him. In His presence daily.
Ask you this question. Have you say, Jody, if God is my witness, the Lord is my witness, I'm not perfect. That's not what I'm asking. But according to your message tonight on seeking the Lord, worshiping the Lord, giving to the Lord, and obeying the Lord, I believe I can honestly say that I'm wise. Now, please don't misunderstand. I'm not asking, are you perfect? I'm not asking are you everything you need to be. But if you say, as far as I know, I'm seeking the Lord, not fame or fortune or pleasure or something else. As far as I know, I'm worshiping Him. I'm spending time with Him daily, and I'm looking at Him. I'm seeing Him. I'm praising Him. Standing in awe of Him. I'm giving to Him. As far as I know, I'm obeying Him. If you say, as far as I know, I'm a wise man or wise woman, be honest with the Lord watching you. Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? Yes, I believe I'm wise. I think I am. Yes, God bless you. Keep it that way. If you could not raise your hand, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? As Brother Gary sings the next verse, there's time for you. Come on. Let's do business with God, asking the Lord to help us as He sings. Come on now. Here we go.
All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
Playing through softly, you can look this way. I'd like to ask for those who are leaving for college this week, whether it's Bible college or another college, I'm not sure how many of you are here. If you're here, I'd like for you and your family, if you're here and you're leaving for Bible college this week, or if you're leaving for another college, a secular college this week, I'd like for you and your family to come up here with me if you don't mind. You know who you are. If you're here, I want you to come. Just kind of make a line right here in front of me. I just want to say just a few words to you, and then we're going to pray and we'll be dismissed. Sarah Briggs here. We have Faith Shelton here. Both of these young ladies are going off to Bible college this week. Amen. That's exciting, isn't it? And I simply just want to say to you girls and others who are here, but and to your families, I think this is a fitting message that this is the last one you'll hear me preach on Sunday. Because you go to school to get wisdom, knowledge. But book knowledge is not what you need. You understand what I'm saying? I'm challenging you as your pastor. And boy, I'm humbled to say that. I'm your pastor. Get on your face every day of your life at Bible college. You're going to be tempted there just like you'd be tempted anywhere else. I know because I've been there. And beg God to make you a wise young lady. Say, God, help me to seek You. Not a husband. That comes with it. You seek the Lord will guide you to the husband. Amen. Say, Lord, help me to worship You, not my classes, not my professors, not my friends, not my family. Help me to give to You my time. You're going to be giving time to the Lord, but make sure your heart's in it. They're going to force you to give time, but you make sure your heart's in it. You know how you do that? You get to Bethlehem. You see the Lord. You see Him. You have no problem doing what they ask you to do. I'm just giving you some counsel here as your pastor in front of the whole church. By the way, this is good counsel for you too. And then whatever God tells you to do, calls you to the mission field, marry a preacher. Unless the star tries to get you to be a preacher, then you realize that star is not the right star. My daughter thinks it is, but she's got her eye on the star today instead of the scriptures. My daughter wants to be a preacher. We're working with her. But we love you guys, no doubt about it. Love your families. It's going to be tears shed this week. I cried when I got in my truck and went off to Crown College. I cried like a baby. I've never been away from home like that. I cried like a baby. God had that girl right there waiting on me. Now, she's not the reason I went, but I sought the Lord. I was seeking the Lord. It wasn't long before she bowed down and proposed to me. I got that from you, Moses. I just wanted to do this with you. Amen. Have you happy for him? Would you say a big amen? How many going to be praying for him? Now, don't lie about it, but how many going to be praying for him? Would you raise your hand? I want you to turn around and look at this. I'm going to be praying for him. Amen. I'm going to be praying for you too. And if any boys down there give you any trouble, you call me. I'll come running. Okay? Amen. Wonderful. What I want to do, I'm going to call my Moses up here. And preacher, I want you to pray over these young ladies and their families. This will be our dismissing prayer. Please remember the baby shower Tuesday night. If you're a first-time guest, please take your card out there. And so on. I'll be honest with you, we're not lifting up man around here. But if I could choose one man to pray for me, right there he is. That's him, right there. And I'm going to ask him to pray for you girls and pray for your families. And thank the Lord that they're going off to serve God. Amen. We're so excited about it. Preacher, if you want to say a word to them and then pray with them, God bless you there. Amen.
Let's just pray. We need the Lord. That's who we need. We need the Lord as we go off to school in the will of God. Just stay in the will of God. Stay close to the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these young people and their families. They've raised them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And now, Lord, we just commit them to thee. And Lord, I pray that this church, as well as these mothers and fathers, will pray for them daily. And Lord, call their name before God, that his blessings would rest upon them as they go to college and all their college days and the rest of their days on this earth. Lord, would you bless them now and help them to, Lord, live close to thee and be good students and obey the authorities there in the school. And Lord, would you just prepare them for a life of service for Jesus Christ out there in the future. Fill them with your spirit. May they, Lord, live holy, godly lives, and may they love your word and read your word daily and walk with thee. And so bless them now. We commit them to thee. Thank you for these parents and the sacrifices they're going to make. Would you supply their needs? And bless these precious young people. I commit them to thee. And Lord, we as a church, help us to stand by them and back them up with our prayers. Go with them now and in the days that lie ahead, and use them in the future for your service. Prepare them for great service in the future. We pray. Lord, now we commit them to thee. May the smile of God be upon their lives. We beg you in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen.